Howdy, friends, and welcome to The Story Field. This is a podcast where we talk about business, faith, and life in general.
Okay, so here's the deal. We want you to be encouraged. We want you living in hope. This life we live is complex. It's hard at times. At The Story Field, you will find great stories of normal people just like us who will inspire you. Our goal is that you leave encouraged, inspired, and excited to move forward in life. But before we get started, one thing though, if you're listening and you find yourself really hopeless right now, send us an email at hope@thestoryfield.com so we can pray for you. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Well, hey, Story Field, I'm back. Micah,
The last
couple episodes were awesome, man.
Hey, man, thanks.
Thank you for taking that solo with me, with me gone. So,
well, I just hope Colorado was worth it.
100%,
as it always
is. For all the people who were in Texas in the summer.
Oh, for sure.
Well, listen, this is a special episode for us. Why is that?
50 episodes.
It's a big deal. I don't know if I would have ever thought when we first started this that was gonna hit that mark. I don't know what I thought, but I was like, this, now that we've been a couple years down the road looking back, I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I don't think I figured maybe we'd get like 15-20 and then we'd run out of either people or ideas of what to talk about. But that's the cool thing about this, is that there's never a plan of what we're really going to talk about, because the stories of the people that we've been interviewing kind of lead us in and out of different things, even stuff we didn't even think we were going to talk about.
Yeah, no, I tell people I didn't intend for it to be just kind of like a ministry when we started. I don't think either one of us. Mm-mm. And it was your idea to even get this going, which was sweet. But I didn't think it was going to be a ministry like it did, but the Lord had different plans. And it's funny to look back, you know, 50 episodes later and be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I mean, statistically, we shouldn't have gone over like 10 or 12 episodes, because I don't remember exactly the number, but like 85 or 90% of podcasts never make it past that. Never make it past that mark. And then we also, I know we're real intentional about not trying to push it, like that we've got to do one a week and do all this kinds of stuff. So sometimes you'll notice that there's a little break, and that's kind of like on purpose, because that's not that we don't have people. We have people we can interview all the time, but we're not feeling like we've got to put something out just to put something out.
I know. I think when we first started, I used to want to like line the pipeline up with people just to make sure I have enough. And now it's been like, once we run out, we're just like, okay, Lord, who's next? And just kind of look. So
if then they come in twos and threes and fours.
Yeah. So if it's not the clean 2 week, every 2 weeks, you know, the Lord has again just kind of changed it on us.
Yeah.
It's just fun.
And the people that we've got to meet and the lessons we've got to learn from them has been, life changing on some aspects, because we're meeting people all over the United States and all those kinds of things that there's no way that our paths would have crossed unless God, one, wanted us to meet, but two, maybe just for me and you to learn from that story.
100%. I swear. I think people think that I'm from like DFW, like Dallas, Fort Worth. They don't realize like I'm like an hour and a half, 2 hours from there in a relatively tiny town compared to that. And you're in Austin. So I don't know.
And I'm not even really in Austin. I'm like south of Austin in a tiny little town called Buda. And it's not Buda.
It's okay, Buda. Thanks for clarifying that. I'm sure I've called it.
It's not for you. It's for everybody else.
Well, and then the guests that we've had on, I mean, some of them millions of people impacted, and TV shows and books and authors and ministers and normal folk like us, which is where we wanted it to always, you know, be at too. But I think it's been fun to look for the God story in everybody. That's what I love about it.
Yeah. And I think we've, I don't know how to say it, but we've been pretty good about not, like, we don't put all the accolades and all of those things that we hear from people. We don't put that out because it doesn't really matter to us. All the stories, the best stories are the ones that we're never going to hear about. And it's simply because we decided to listen to God and do this podcast when things were crappy during COVID.
During COVID. And, we started during COVID.
And we just wanted something that was maybe uplifting or inspiring that we were going to get through the crap together.
Yeah. That was it. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that back to my memory because it was like February of 20.
Yeah. You know, and we got to do something.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of watching negative. The news.
Yeah.
I can't go anywhere. And let's talk to people. Let's pretend we're at like a cigar bar and we're just going to sit down and have a conversation with some person we don't really know.
Yeah.
But we know they have a cool story.
Yeah. It's been super fun. But I thought, since it's our 50th, you know, we were talking a little bit about, I think it's time for people to hear our stories.
Yeah, I think you are right. It's been 50 episodes. And for you guys, we're somewhere around 9,000 downloads of this podcast. And probably 95% of those people don't even know you know who we are or our story. Or why we do this. I mean, there's no income from it. There's no nothing. It's strictly because we felt that we needed to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that doesn't even count, which is mind blowing to us because I know we were like, man, if 1,000 people listen to this in the first year, then we might keep it going. And, you know, here we are knocking on 10,000, but I've heard people listen to multiple ones like 5 times. Which is so funny to hear from me. I was like, that's awesome. Cause it's the point of it is occurring with them. You know, they're getting ministered to.
I'll have to check the stats. Like, does that count for 5 times or is that just one listen?
No, I asked you early on.
Maybe we're over 10,000.
Yeah. There's only one listen. That's why I was like, give me some credit. But I know for me, the Lord has like, been like, don't make it about the numbers. Cause you know, when you first started doing this, it got to be like, man, we need a bigger guest and more. And then I was like, no, what? Forget it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, that's not the point. You know, it's not the locks and all that. If it ministers to people, then that's the stories I like to hear.
Right. We've been able to hear stories of some life change from some of our guests, the way they thought of stuff. Some of our companies that are run by our guests have just an increase of flow of knowledge of who they are, what they do. And some of them, like financially, have been helped out. And that is just awesome. That's the reason why we did this. We wanted people's stories to be out there and then whatever they need to continue that mission or continue whatever they're doing, they can get the resources to do that.
Yeah. I know we try to do the donation links and all that because, I mean, that's the big deal. Like, if they're giving to those companies and they're moving forward, it's so sweet to see.
All right. Well, then I pick you to go first.
Man, I thought you were going to go first today. We didn't really talk about this.
Well, I'm not it.
Okay. So I think we should do like a episode 50 part A and episode 50 part B.
Okay,
so
I'll be B and you can be A.
Okay. Well, I guess we should do it like we do most guests. And honestly, man, I got to be completely honest. Like, I'm a little nervous about like this.
Yeah, you know, it'll
be
fine.
It's easy to be on the side of getting the question, but just being honest and, you know, authentic, you know, that's like, I feel nervous about it. I feel like the fear of man issues like creeping up in, you know, on me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're telling someone the story and you're not trying to hide the gray, it's just, I mean, the times when it's dark, it's going to be dark. And like, that's okay because, you know, Jesus tells us it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows, but he's there. And then both of our stories have times when it's there, but we come out of it. So,
yeah,
I mean...
Well, maybe I'll start there. So where I'm at today, and then I'll fill in the gaps. Then
we'll go back. Okay.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it this way. And I'm gonna say, you know, it was at the Lord's request. This is all the Lord's doing. Because I have to remind myself of that, because, you know, I look back and think, you know, I'm reminded of a quote from a book. I think it's Wild at Heart, when he goes, unless there's a God and unless he loves me, you know, then I've done some of the dumbest things ever, unless there's a God, unless he loves me. And that's kind of what I feel like a lot of times, because at this point, you know, I'm mid 40s and have stepped out of the legal career. Like, I'm not practicing law.
For those of you who don't know, Josh went to school to become a lawyer and did law for a bunch. And then all of a sudden, he just felt God telling him, you need to stop doing that.
Yeah. And there was a little bit longer process, and we'll talk about that. But so even to say that, it's kind of hard for me to say. It took me a while to even admit that, because I practiced for 15 years, and then over the last 3 years, he's kind of transitioned me out. And I look back and I'm like, man, he was doing this the whole time. But then there was a clear moment where it's like, you're out. So, and the pressure that puts on, because I think we grew up in a culture, and especially for the legal industry and attorneys, of like, if you're not billing, you're not working, if you're not, you know, what do you mean? You have a law degree, and what are you doing? Well, good question.
Yeah, right.
So that's the pressure. So that's where I'm at now. Just, and you know, also planted a peach orchard, which half of them are dead at this point after Texas summer. So, you know, that's right. Another thing is like, it's doing stuff that has like no fruit, but the Lord's doing something big time. Right. So that's where I'm at. So I can kind of fill in the gaps for you.
Yeah. So you base and like peach orchard in Texas, all of a sudden, and I'm assuming you had never planted a peach tree before this.
Man, we have a few trees, you know, at our house, but nothing to the size of, I mean, it's a small orchard in the sense of compare another orchard, just a couple hundred trees, but still that's no small undertaking.
Oh, for sure.
But right now I have, you know, 100 dead sticks out there. So, you know, but it makes you wonder, like, did I miss it? Did I not hear you, Lord, correctly on that? And that's, well, and it's funny, all of our guests have spoken to a lot of the stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was going to say is like, the ability to listen and for him to tell you to get out of the law, and then all of a sudden for him to tell you, hey, you should plant a couple hundred tree orchard, goes to the fact that you're following what you hear. And I think that's, we've talked about this on this podcast a bunch. He's talking to us all the time. It's just whether you're going to be silent enough or take that time to listen for what he's trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like it.
Yeah. I was listening to something the other day just about that. You got to take that time, and then you get to the point of like, if I'm going to listen, which is the hard part.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, the listening and then being strong enough and trusting enough that whatever it is, when you do it, the end isn't like, you know, everything isn't going to come crumbling.
Yeah.
He's not going to put you in this situation. I have a friend that said, our God is a loving God, and he'll never, ever, ever put you in a situation that's going to be bad. That's not his, the way he runs things.
He can't, because he's love. So, like, it may be bad to me. It may seem correct. Bad to me, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though he's doing it out of love. So, anyway,
yeah.
it's just very interesting. All right, well, let's go back.
Okay.
We know where you're at now. Let's go back to, like, let's go back to little Josh with his brothers.
Yeah, so I'm the middle of two brothers. My older brother, Kobe. He's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and is at Prestonwood Baptist on the operations side of that, you know, in the uppers up there. And then my younger brother, Caleb, is here in town, and with me in Stephenville, and he's a CFP, Certified Financial Planner, now a CPA, and is just the smart one of the family. It's awesome. I'm proud of them both. So for me, I was always Caleb was a lot closer in age to me, but I always try to run with Kobe. You know, he's 4 years older. Try to run with Kobe's crowd as well. But I've always been the middle child. You know, we're the conflict resolvers. We're the go either way, and we're, you know, we kind of leave the house, our own group of friends, type people. But as far as the story goes, I mean, just grew up in Stephenville. Actually, my dad was born and raised here, and my mom is a West Texas gal, and but dad came back to Stephenville when his mom got sick, my grandmother got sick, and that's when he opened up the law firm. So when I grew up, it was like, I mean, dad always tells the story too, and I remember it's like as a sophomore in high school, I was like, man, I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to go to school, come back, be a lawyer. And that's what happened. Like, and I joke with him now. I'm like, somebody should have freaking aptitude tested me or something. Like,
right. That's funny. So were you like the only one that wanted to be a lawyer, kind of following dad's footsteps, or did any of the other two just think about it? Then they're like, man, never mind.
I think Caleb thought about it, for a minute, but ended up going the financial route, you know, accountant and financial planner. And then Kobe's actually kind of on the operational business side of the, you know, of Prestonwood. So, you know, they're kind of all numbers guys and business people, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you are too. I mean,
yeah.
All of you.
Yeah. I was a finance major. I was a finance major at Tech.
I think that's, when you were talking about your dad being there, and which we didn't talk about, we talked about this a little bit, but historically my family is from around the area. So when me and Josh met, it was end of 2011, beginning of 2012. And the only reason I was there was to help plant a church. But at the same time, my roots of my family had been in Desdemona and parts of Stephenville and Dublin and everything from like, early 1800s. It's just amazing. Like, we talk about the connections like all the time.
It's like a full circle, kid. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think that's part of the connection that we have, maybe, is that.
Yeah, for sure.
That, you know.
I mean, we're all part of this area.
Correct.
I never thought about going anywhere else. Like, I hear some of these testimonies, I'm like, dang, mine's calm compared to yours. Just like I went to school and came back. Like, I was in high school, I was just like, I'm going to be an attorney. And I never thought about living anywhere else. You know, I love Stephenville. It's growing, you know.
Right.
There's a D1 school now, Tarleton State University, that's really growing. And, you know, it's getting big. It wasn't always that way, but I never thought about it, you know.
Hey, y'all. I just want to make an observation. When I see someone going through a legal situation, it seems like there are way too many unknowns. Well, the Allen Firm provides legal guidance so that you can make a great decision, come to a resolution, and be at peace. For more information about the Allen Firm, visit allenlawfirm.com.
Stephenville is somewhat the same size. Let's say, 10,000 people when school's not in session?
Yeah, it's probably a little more now. I mean, yeah. I think it's probably around the 20 mark, you know, with school. So it's somewhere right around that. I mean, which is a neighborhood in Dallas, you know.
Right. So did you guys do anything? Did you and your brothers play any sports? Were you in like DECA? Were you in like any of those weird clubs?
I grew 6 inches literally when I graduated high school. Like, we joke, we were the bench warmers. Like, I was so tiny, man. I was, as a sophomore in high school, I was like literally like 100 pounds and just so small. So I actually probably have a lot of scars from sports. So I was on the basketball team. I did a lot of bench warming, and you know, I was here during like the football is still, the teams have always been great the last few years, but kind of in the Art Briles days, you know, during the heyday of football, and I just kind of watched it all because I wasn't big enough to participate.
Yeah, and Stephenville is definitely a sportsy town.
100%.
I mean, it's your Texas Friday Night Lights. Everybody goes. You get to play at Tarleton Stadium, which they just redid. So now it feels like it's a junior college.
Yeah. And man, they produce some athletes, and it's really a cool tradition and history of Stephenville. I mean, it's a big deal. I was on the sidelines in that, but you know what? I don't know if that bothered me so much. Like I had my crew of friends. I just tell my older girls now are, you know, in high school, and I was telling them like those friends, you know, my buddies, they saved us. Like they literally, in sophomore in high school, we had a group of friends who really got into partying and, you know, drug scene and all that, and we just didn't. And it was, and I'm not saying it wasn't because I was some kind of like spiritually better and all that. It was just because of the good friends I had, you know? And, and they just, so I loved high school. I didn't play really any sports. I mean, basketball, but so.
Yeah. My group of friends, we never got into the drug thing. Of course we drank, we had our little house parties, and we had our favorite place to go get a, whatever it was at the time, Keystone Light or whatever the gross thing we could afford at the time. But it's crazy how you become any of that. I think the word is that you become the sum of the five or seven people that you hang out with. So if there's seven of you and four of you or five of you are doing drugs, and most likely the other two are just going to follow along because they want to fit in or whatever. And I never had to worry about that because, you know, I guess I just rang with, like you said, you rang with the right kind of people at that time.
It's that big a deal, you know, and a couple of my buddies are back in town still. We actually got together over Labor Day. It's just good to see them, man. It's just like, they're the guys, like they're the core. They saved us. Now we did some stupid things. Don't hear me wrong, but, it wasn't that type of stupid where
for sure. Yeah. I think that's some of that is just being a boy too. Cause we live in the stupid a lot, especially in high school. Okay. So you're in high school and you're warming the bench. And then what made you decide to go to that ugly university?
Oh man, you're going to say, aren't you?
The red, I don't know. Red.
Yeah.
Raiders. I can't remember who they are.
You sure you want to talk about that right now on the post Cotton Bowl?
Yeah. Well, that's a little true. Fresh. And my daughter wants to go to your university. So
okay, well, you're gonna be a financial supporter then soon. Man, it's a legacy. So Texas Tech is a legacy for us. It was just one of those deals, man. Like it's like you know, mom went there. She was in West Texas. She graduated in Fort Stockton. Family was from, you know, Andrews, and that's a West Texas close, and that's where dad went. And I'm not even sure why he went out there. I think somebody might have just invited him. But that was our legacy. I followed Kobe out there, my older brother, and he was out there for a few years, and I just followed suit. I'm not sure how many places I applied otherwise. It's just like I'm gonna be a lawyer, and I'm going to be a Red Raider.
And where did your dad get his law degree from?
From University of Texas.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that, so I just wanted to make sure
that's only because Tech didn't have a law school at the time.
I just wanted that on recording for
no, it was a
for
awesome
your grandkids
school.
To hear.
It was a good school, man. Like, yeah,
they're both good schools.
That's a great school, and obviously UT Law is awesome. Yeah, so I graduated high school in '97. Dude, what happened? We're getting up there in age.
97 still low. I mean, I was supposed to graduate in 91 and I didn't make it out until 93. So in a little bitty school called Needville High School, just south of Houston, my graduating class at Hastings, at A-Leaf Hastings, would have been like, I don't know, 1580 or something.
Oh, wow.
Which is bigger than your whole school.
Yeah.
And then I go to Needville, and in graduating line, I'm like number 18.
Oh my
gosh. And my last name is P, so there's only like 27 kids or something like that. It was pretty crazy. So you're a tech and you're getting a law degree and you're doing all the college-y things. And you knew you were coming home. Did you automatically think that you were going to work with your dad? Or, I mean, was that always the plan? Or were you just going to kind of come in and try to not work for your dad? Because sometimes, you know, I want to make my own place. I want to be my own person, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. No, it was always the plan. Like, I never even thought otherwise. In fact, and the thing is, dad didn't push me to be an attorney. I don't want people to think that. It wasn't like he didn't pressure me at all to do that. I think he was secretly happy that was happening, but it wasn't like it. But that was always the plan. Even the plan, so much so that I didn't do things like law review and some of these extra things that people do really to just help pad the resume. That was like, I don't care. You know, there's no point in that, like, for me.
Right. I already have a job.
Yeah. I don't need to do law review. I probably wish I would have. It'd probably been super helpful just as far as like the knowledge and learning and the work. But I mean, I still did really well in, I still did really well in law school and undergrad, but I always knew I was going to law school. So the last couple of years, I just, you know, if I was in a situation in undergrad when, you know, like, I don't want to get caught like drinking and driving, that type of thing, because I'm going to law school, you know? So, I mean, all that stuff, and I'd always bust it. I had to get in. I wasn't a very good test taker.
Right.
You know, so I knew I had to have grades to carry me in. So like, I always just had that in my mind. Like, I knew where I was going. So I would just be careful in what I did and just not do the stupid things that would prevent me from my goal.
Right.
But I got my undergrad degree in finance. And I applied to several law schools around the state, but then when Tech accepted me, it was sweet because I didn't have to move at all. I could just stay and keep going for the next 3 years after that.
And you could find your, you could stay with a group if they were still around of your peers.
Yep.
This is totally jumping off topic, but is this where you met the better half of you?
I was just thinking about her. I met Julie, my wife, of 20 years now. We dated 5 years before we got married, even. So, you know, we've been together since we were 18. We were laughing about it. We've done a lot of growing up, but in some ways I'm still just as much of a kid.
Right.
You know, it's terrible. But I met her in my freshman English class. Like, you know, and kind of like, she calls it stalking. I call it just pursuing your goal. So
yeah, I don't think we had stalking back then. It was just, I really, 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 really like you.
I just wanted to get to know her, man. What was the big deal? So anyway, I called her up kind of out of the blue, which if you know her, it was hard conversations at first. Cause it was like, who's this weirdo calling me?
Right.
Called her up out of the blue. And then, I mean, as a freshman year, 18, you know, my first class. And first off, it was English class for both. I mean, she's brilliant. And the fact that she didn't clap out of that class or even take the clap test or no, I didn't even know about it. It was sweet to see the Lord putting her in that class because she was perfect for me. And our first date at the time of the recording, I mean, we're in October, but our first date was on Halloween of like 97.
Nice.
So it didn't take long. You know, we started school in August, and then, then we started talking and that type of thing. And then,
did y'all have matching Halloween outfits for whatever party you went to?
So it's a bit of a. It's not really fair that she didn't get to tell her side of the story, but I kind of like washed my hands of her.
She can have her own podcast to talk about her side of the story.
She kind of gave me the cold shoulder after a certain amount of time, so I kind of washed my hands of her. Right. And then out of the blue, like a little bit later, she called me on Halloween. It was like, hey, I'm coming to get you. Like, you know, you're going out with this other couple, we're going on a date or something. And I kind of washed my hands over at the time. So I was like, fine, if you're going to give me the time, I'll show you. Anyway, right. So I was like, oh, wait, what? Well, okay. And she's really not like that, like saying, get ready, I'm coming to get you, like, whatever. Then anyway, that was our first date. And, you know, really the rest is kind of history. So she's been incredible. And she was in grad school, like, during the whole time, we dated all through college. And then we graduated at the same time. And then she got her master's in finance. And then was there, and then we got married my second year in law school when she actually could have a job to support us through my last year of law school. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. She was my sugar mama.
She was sugar mama. I wasn't going to say it, but.
I figure I was going to beat you to the punch.
Yeah. Okay. So you get married in Lubbock, and then you're like, hey, we're going to go back to Stephenville. Because I already got this job lined up.
Yeah, we graduated. I graduated law school. I had a U-Haul that weekend already lined up, you know, and we packed our meager possessions into the back of that U-Haul. She drove the car and I drove that piece of junk U-Haul, you know, all the way to Stephenville. And we had bought a house at that, you know, sometime in that last year, we had looked and bought a house in Stephenville. So, and we're remodeling it essentially, and drove the U-Haul up to that thing in Stephenville. Next thing you know, we're home. It's like August, and or I guess that was like July or something. We traveled around that summer a little bit, but there you go. Unloaded our crud into our new house. time to be adults.
Yeah, right. Okay. And you move in, you have your job, you have a whole litter of kids. You've got like 17 kids or something like that. And they're some of my favorite people in the world. I've given them all nicknames that make no sense, but that's part of the fun. And you're building this life in Stephenville and you're doing the law and you're working with your pops. How was it actually working with, you know, your father, your mentor back in the day? Like, it's got to be a weird switch. Because I don't know if I could ever work with my dad. I mean, maybe, you know, until that situation, I guess I can't really say. But I know that the dynamic sometimes is, as I have friends that go into the same industry as their father. And they're like, I can't do that because I would do things totally different. And
Unstuck Coaches hates it when movement and progress in a person's life or business is stuck or frozen or slowed or just stopped altogether. Well, we have found a solution. UnstuckCoaches.com. They offer a variety of coaching services to get you or your business moving again. Check out unstuckcoaches.com.
It's really, I know what you're saying. That's a good question. I don't think it ever really worried me, like, going into it. It was so hard. It's hard for me to separate, like, and I'll kind of get into that, but I went through such kind of a dark time. So it's hard for me to separate. Like, none of that was dad's fault, you know? So it's hard to separate. Like, was there pressure just working with him? Like, I've learned so much from him and he's a brilliant attorney, you know, and to see how he's handled things and like this, just the way he's operated and treated people. And he's been there in the mix for our, you know, in the hardest situations for people and companies, and just his defending of the little man and that type of thing, or the people, you know, I learned so much. There's definitely the dad dynamic, but the dynamic was just worsened for me because of what I was going through, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as a healthy Josh, it wouldn't have been a big deal, some of the stuff, but there's a lot of times I did not react and respond a lot like I should have.
Right.
I'd be way more angry about stuff, but that's because what was going on in me and on him, you know?
For sure.
And he was probably like, what the heck, man?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times.
And where did that come from?
Yeah, for sure.
I just asked him a simple question and boom. And
there's a lot of truth to that, but what happened was, and you know, Halloween, so back to the Halloween, our first day, Halloween was actually a big day in my life. Because, I mean, as an 8-year-old, I made a decision for Jesus on Halloween when I was 8. I went to some kind of like safe, you know, like a safe trick-or-treat type of deal at actually a church that wasn't mine. Just a friend invited me to this to a church. And for people in high school, people in Stephenville, there was a little church, a little small building across from the high school where the administration is now that used to be a church. And that's where it was when they were having an event that, you know, I said the prayer and quote, got saved then, you know, so as an 8-year-old, and we grew up in church, you know, always had that, always had that grew up in church. That was just one thing that where we were at, we grew, you know, Southern Baptist people forever. And so I just wanted to make a note on that. But whenever I got to and started practicing law and then was married, and then we have 5 kids, you know, girl, boy, girl, three girls and 2 boys. And, but whenever we started having our first 2, it just got like, I don't know, man, I was never really a worrier, or anxiety never bothered me too much. But, our oldest, Emmy and then Lucy, they got RSV, and now we know at the time they were asthmatic. So a lot of asthma, a lot of breathing treatments, Lucy would get like a cold and get pneumonia like a day later, and we didn't end up in the ER, but that set my anxiety off.
Right.
Like to a new level. It was just dark. I mean, so that kicked off a period, between, you know, Emmy, our oldest, and Lucy, of Jim sick. I mean, I remember being there, like in the other room, listening to them cough their head off, and just like my heart just pounding out of my chest, like counting breaths, that type of thing.
Right. Super. It was just worried. Yeah.
Worried. But that all corresponded with fairly new married, coming from 7 years of school, which is a whole different schedule than putting your big boy pants on and actually, right, you know, being a lawyer, to like some of the stuff that I was doing in law just scared the crap out of me. And dad was pretty good about throwing you to the fire. So I think even now he'd be like, man, maybe I shouldn't. I mean, I remember he put me in like bankruptcy court like a week after I got licensed. I'm like, I don't have a clue what's happening. This is federal court.
So nothing better than the deep end for a lawyer.
And now, no, that's not really my wiring. I never liked, like, my career focused on transaction practice and a lot of real estate, a lot of forming companies and making deals happen and estate planning and probate, the transaction side of the world. And I was doing some of the stuff that even fueled the fire of my just fear and anxiety. And I got really depressed. I was functioning, but it was a period of years there where my head would hurt like crazy. I couldn't sleep, you know, lay down, just worried about the future doom, you know, that type of thing. Kids were sick all the time. It was a hard period, man. And it lasted a long time. So finally, I mean, I've never cried so much, you know, and you get those thoughts, it's dangerous. I think, I mean, I scared Julie. Like there's times just she's like, he's going to hurt himself, you know?
Right.
Like, it was just dark. I think we're the guys, we set the thermometer for the house. So if I'm off like that, then the whole house is off. So I was functioning dad and all that, but man, I was not in a good spot.
Right. And kids can see and sense that.
They just sense it.
Yeah.
100%, dude. Yeah, like dad just off. I think all the guys could be like, yep. Yeah, he's listening. I think mom has that special ability too. The moms do, but the dads really set the tone. And I think that's a biblical thing, you know?
Yeah.
So finally, I remember, I mean, there's just a hard period, man. Dang. I even think back on it now. I'm just like, God. A couple years in, like, I was listening a lot to Matt Chandler, the Village Church, brilliant Bible teacher up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but he had a list of recommended counselors on his website. And I was told Julie, I was like, man, I got to go get some counseling. And she was like, yep. You know, like kind of like a, she ever said it was about time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I looked up, got an appointment up there. Wanted to go talk to, you know, a Bible guy, a counselor. And, but I kept having this thought to call this guy named Jerry Martin. So I went to the counselor and honestly, I was a little bit disappointed with him, dude. He was like showing me stuff like the Bible says 365 times, you know, don't worry, no fear. I was like, dude, I'm a lawyer. I've already read like 8 books on anxiety. Like, I need to know what happens when it punches me in my face and like knocks me out. Like, I know what the Bible says. Like, I've studied it thoroughly, you know, that type of thing. So finally I just kind of hitting a dead end up there. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna call this guy named Jerry. And so Jerry Martin, many people from Stephenville know him. Just so grateful for his life and his investment in him. But anyway, I called him up and I'm like, hey, can we talk? You know, he's like, sure, yeah, for what? I'm like, just some Bible stuff. Now, he's like, sure. So we met at the Peacocks up there for all the Steamville people, you know, across from the Ranger College.
For sure, yeah.
And, but Jerry and my dad had done some stuff. He, you know, he ran cows on some land that we had. He was a fishing guide. He was like an old dairyman, a pig farmer, just done everything. But he loved the Lord so much. He did like prison ministries and drug rehabs and an incredible guy. Just, he had so much like life and fruit as a guy. And he's probably in his upper 70s at the time. And it's like, it's just like the joy just came from this guy. And you're just like, what is going on with him? You don't see just a ton of elderly men who are just like that joyful and then on fire for the Lord.
But anyway, he would talk to anybody. I mean, I met him a couple times.
Oh yeah, I'm sure if you were around
and,
him.
He would come to those morning breakfast coffee kind of Bible studies at Beans and Frank's at the time near campus.
And, yeah,
I mean, he it was like 6:30, and the rest of us are like, yeah, let's get some coffee. And he's like, yo, let's talk about the Bible. Here's what we're gonna talk about today.
That's so good, man.
Okay, man. Like, how long have you been up?
So I started meeting with him and told him, man, that first time I was just like, I'm getting blown up with anxiety and depression. And dude, I'm sick, you know. And he kind of just ignored it and got into the Word, the Bible, honestly. I do remember after we first met, he's like, hey, we'll meet again, you know. And he called me later. He's like, hey, the Lord told me for you to read Romans 8:1, which says, therefore, there's now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we started to meet and he started to tell all these stories like healings, demon deliverances, you know, drug rehab people that were just being immediately healed, just crazy salvations all the time. So at the same time all this was going on, one of our mutual friends, Angel Escobar, who you know well, he used to work with the firm for about 7 or 8 years. Angel was a bivocational pastor at the time. So he kept saying stuff like, the Lord told me this, and boom, like this guy's getting saved. Like at the same time I was meeting with Jerry, I was hearing from Angel at the office, who was our office manager, of all these people who are getting saved. I'm like, dude, you're leading like 5 people to Jesus every week. What are you talking about? The Spirit told you this. The Lord told you this. And it's like I'm at all sips. Then the guy's like, the Lord's like, hey, go talk to that guy. And I talk to him. He cries and gets saved. I'm like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? So that was all going on. The Lord was orchestrating this. I was meeting with Jerry. I was hearing about this and I was asking Jerry, what do you mean the Lord said this? Like, what do you mean, Jerry? What do you mean you heard from the Lord? What do you mean the Holy Spirit? You know, like I grew up in church.
Yeah.
And I know whenever we accepted Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. But Jerry was talking about something more. So,
and that's not really taught in your typical
first, or, Baptist,
second, first or second Baptist. They don't go into soup. They'll say it. They'll say the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But they don't go into the definition of what that could mean.
Yeah.
Based on your giftings.
Exactly. And I mean, a lot of times the thought is like, if you want to know what God said, read the word. And that's true. But I was experiencing before my eyes, there was a little bit more. There's something else that I didn't have. And I'm still super anxious at the time, super depressed. But we start meeting. We turn it into a Bible study at Beans and Frank's, you know, moved it over. But before that happened, there was another guy or two the Lord would put in. And I would hear these crazy stories. I'm like, and I started asking the question, like, what do you mean the Lord told you that and this happened? What do you mean the Lord? You know, like, that's phrases. That's the only time I've read that is in the Bible. You know, the Lord told whatever, you know. So finally, Jerry's like, okay, listen. We got into the Holy Spirit. We started looking at all the Acts, and he started talking about getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what that means. And I remember, like, it was super funny, Micah. He had a coffee cup, my coffee cup, and he took a little one of those half and half creamers, you know. And he's like, hey, whenever you accept Jesus, and he goes, boop, like, put a little bit of creamer in, you got the Holy Spirit. Like, that's clear in the Bible. But if you get filled, it's like, you like pour the whole thing in it. And I was like, that kind of makes sense now that you did that. So
the visual.
So he was like, so do you want me to lay hands on you and fill you with the Spirit? And I was like, I'm still depressed, man. I'm still super anxious. But yes, like, it can't hurt. Like, that's still weird to me. I still don't know what that means, but whatever. Yes. So he goes, okay, next week we'll go out to my truck. I'll pray for you, fill you with the Spirit. Not a big deal. I was like, okay. So the next week came, and Angel had met some guy in the park who wanted to meet me. Super strange. It was like, okay. So we lined up lunch, and it happened to be on the same day that Jerry and I were going to go out to his truck. So that morning, we ate breakfast at Peacock's. Jerry and I went out to the truck. He prayed for me to receive the Spirit in more measure, or baptism of the Spirit. And he did say, and it wasn't weird. It was just like, hey, repeat after me. Invite him in, and it wasn't weird. He did say, okay, now speak in tongues. I was like, yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, nothing. There's no translator here. I can't do that right now.
So that was the old, that old school, you know, charismatic coming after him. But, you know, more of the story on that later. There'll be another episode. I was like, okay, that happened. Whatever. That was kind of strange. I went to lunch with Angel, and this guy showed up. It was 4 hours later. This guy brings his Bible and is like, man, I'm supposed to read this chapter to you. He opens his Bible up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and starts reading. And all of it, for all of you who know, it's like prophecies, speaking in tongues, words, all this prophetic stuff. And I'm just like, wow, what is going on? This is like, I still think about that. Like, what the heck just happened, man?
That's crazy.
So Angel and I are riding back to the office, and we're parking under the carport. And he goes, man, I'm supposed to pray for you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Pray after me. And he could have said the identical prayer to Jerry to fill me with the Spirit.
Right.
It's 4 hours later. It still gives me chills thinking about it. And I don't know why the Lord did that, other than I think the Jerry time, just a couple hours earlier, I feel like we kind of manufactured it. Like, we caused it, you know, and that one was out of the stinking blue.
Right.
And then during the Bible studies, though, so it turned into a Bible study. And then he basically taught us, like, because I'm a lawyer at this time, still super anxious and depressed, but he's really good. These situations really got my wheels turning, and it's like, but I can't, like, it's like, things just start happening. We turned it to a Bible study. Guys started to come in every week, but he was teaching us, like, stop doing things for the Lord. Like, just say yes and obey him. And, like, stop reading the Bible like it's a to-do list. And that busted me up, because like I would read like love your neighbor. I'm like, well, dude, I better do this and that. I mean, I'm a lawyer, man. Like we're tracked on our time and performance, on productivity. You got to accomplish tasks, you know. So I was bringing that to my spiritual life.
Well, yeah, and a lot of Christians do that, period. Like, okay, I drop my kids off at youth group. I got to go to Sunday morning Bible study, and then I'm going to go to church service. And then the rest of the week is clear to do as I see fit.
Oh, yeah. Right? Check the back. Check, check.
Check, 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 check.
But he was opening my eyes, like, on, like, hey, if you, like, you cannot get more patience. Like, the fruit of the Spirit, like the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness, you know, those are like a thermostat. It's not like a, if I'm just ticked and impatient, it's not like I can do something. It's like, Lord, I need help. I'm so impatient. This thermometer is on the red, you know? You know, right. So just kind of opening our eyes and teaching us, stop doing dead things for the Lord and just say yes to Him. So over the course of time, and then like you can hear Him, He talks. I'm still having those conversations with angels, and then the Lord brought other guys in my life at the same time. I mean, you were with me this whole time, and you know, me and you've had these conversations. But it's so then it'd be like you can hear the Lord. So then I'd start like, okay, you know, a situation would come up in work, and it'd be like, pray for this guy in the office, and I was like, no way, man, I'm not doing it. And then the next one would come, and then I'd be like, fine, man, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for it. Can I pray
fine.
For it? The guy would be like crying in the office, you know, that type of thing. The Lord would just, so that stuff started happening. The more I just started to say yes. I remember this one time specifically, it just came to mind. I was driving to work one morning, and I drove by this kind of homeless looking guy walking the other way. And I remember just having that thought, go pray for him. And I was like, no way, not a freaking chance.
Right.
I kept driving, and the Lord was just stronger. Go pray for him. Mm-mm. Go pray for him. And I stopped at the stop sign. It was kind of over there by Fuzzy's. Like, he was walking back the other way toward the post office, and I was at Fuzzy's. And I stopped at that stop sign, and I'm watching there at Fuzzy's. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. And finally, the Lord was like, I feel him like crunching his knuckles, like, you know.
Yeah.
So I was like, fine. So I backed up in the parking lot, went and drove up beside him. It was kind of like a creeper walking up on him. I was like,
oh my
hey,
gosh.
Man, I'm supposed to pray for you. Can I pray for you? And the guy was like, looked at me like a deer in a headlamp.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, man, actually you can. I'm like, you know, what can I pray for you for? And he's like, well, I need a job. Can you pray that I get a job? I'm like, sure. And I prayed for him. Okay, give him a job. See him.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Roll down the window. I'm out.
Like, it was so bad. But I started to obey a little bit. But so fast forward, stuff like that started happening, and I started to say yes, and he started to teach us, and I started to say no to stuff that was just dead religion, like, and just trying to say yes when I felt the Lord like urge, you know, like nudge on me. And and you know, I can't remember really the timing of it all, but it was probably a year of just like more people started coming around, walking with the Lord, doing the Bible study with Jerry and those guys, but still depressed, man. It was a long time, still hard, but just this going on. So finally I was talking to a buddy that was going through a lot of anxiety at the time as well. And we were having lunch one Friday, and I remember asking him, man, how did you hear from the Lord? And he goes, I don't know. But my buddy, Jared, who's a mutual friend of ours, Jared Brown, he's a pastor in town and a video business, all that. We, you know, love Jared. I didn't know Jared at the time, but he goes, Jared said, just get quiet, get in front of the Lord and say, what do you want to tell me? And then write it down. And I was like, okay, man, I'm doing that. Like, right, what the heck? Because, like, I've got to figure this out, man, because I was just a wreck. So went up to the office after work was over. Everybody was gone. I went upstairs. It was like 6 at night on Friday. And I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want to tell me? And immediately I wrote, you're my child. I love you. Don't worry. And immediately I just shut my journal. Boom. I'm making this crap up. And then, then I started just practicing that. And just like, as soon as I would hear something, the devil would be like, that's full of crap. Right. You know, that's a lie. You're making it up. So then I just kept practicing that. And then I started to hear like, Josh, you're my child. Josh, I love you. Josh, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going crazy. I'm right. calling myself my name in my head.
I'm in third person.
Holy crud. You're going to put me in somewhere, man. But it was real kind to the Lord because it was a little bit after that. Maybe like a week later, I was in the park during lunch break when I was reading my Bible and I ran across, you know, John 10 when it's like, my sheep hear my voice. I call them by name. And it just like that jumped off the page and was like, oh my gosh, this might be real.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, are you serious? So I just started practicing a lot, asking questions, writing down, you know. So finally, still all the anxiety, depression, it was probably a six year man or something. Meet with Jerry. Now I was practicing listening prayer, you know, writing down what I heard. And it was on Father's Day of 2016. And I remember I told Julie and the kids, like, listen, for my present, I just want to mow the yard. We had like a couple acres and weed eat and blow the driveway off and everything. It's going to take like 4 hours. I just wanted some time with myself because we have 5 kids on the ground now. I mean, it's just, yeah. You know, it's a full life. And I remember I got to mowing and all that. We were going to grill and eat at mom and dad's next door. So the kids were next door. Everybody was over next door. And I was in the shower after I mowed. And the Lord told me, as clear as I've ever heard anything, he said, Josh, I'm delivering you from your anxiety and your depression, and I'm going to use you to deliver people. And it was like he reached in and pulled that crud out immediately. Like 6 or 7 years of junk, crying all the time, scared out of my mind, anxiety, just gone. And that was on Sunday. And I didn't say anything to Julie until Friday. I was like, hey, was there anything different about me this week? And she's like, are you kidding me? It's like your whole joy came back. Just gone.
Right.
I mean, just amazing. So that kind of started it, man. Well, it all started it. So I look back and think, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have traded any of that. It was hell.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell people who are going through it. I mean, you can't say to people who are going through depression and anxiety and that type of stuff, just get over it. You really can't. It's very deep. And it's very dark, man. It's very demonic. Right. And evil. But the Lord used that and changed my life and my kids' life and everybody's life around me. It's insane.
Yeah.
So and, to wrap you, yeah, go ahead.
Well, and you, I was just going to say, and you feel bad for those that don't know who Jesus is.
Oh,
don't have people around them that can be praying for them and specifically all of those things because it could be years and years and years of the depression and the dark thoughts and all that stuff with no help.
It's hard for me to get my mind around that. It breaks my heart for people. I mean, if they don't have the hope in Jesus and people around them, man, of course it's so dark. It's terrible. You know, I hate that for them.
Yeah. And so you're doing all of this stuff. Meanwhile, you're doing stuff for your church, and mm-hmm. I think at this time you're building IDM with your
buddy
Nick. I'm just saying, like, there's all of these ministry opportunities in the backside.
Yeah, good. Yeah, so our buddy Nick, and you're involved in IDM as well. So, you know, in like 2011. He had started IDM. I helped form it, like the nonprofit, but we were starting to run it out of our personal family cabin. So I was just in on it on the ground floor and kind of became his partner in it. And so I was gone all the time. So here I was. Now I was free, but I would be going on leading trips. And there's a lot of pressure. Like now that I know, like now me and you we've done Enneagram and we know this stuff. We know how we're wired. We know it now, but there's all this pressure because like I'm gone a lot and now I'm just kind of quote the boss's son. So they just giving me a hall pass. Am I really earning my keep, that type of thing. But dad handed over operations probably 12, 13 years ago, whatever, or more to me. So I came in and just started changing everything. You came in at the same time. That's why when you came in, we didn't have a website. You know, I mean, that's how much.
Well, you had one. It just wasn't functioning the best to what we wanted people to know about us.
Yeah. So you know. So
yeah.
But you came in and we started changing all that. I went to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leader Masterclass. Read like 40 books that he recommended and started just trying to implement, change everything. Which I love, man. That brought a lot of life to me. But I was gone a lot. So, you know, I think from people's perspective and attorney's perspective and dad's perspective, even at the time, was just like, there was a lot of guilt and shame for what I was doing. It's like, you're jacking around. You're completely, you know, but on the mountain and with people and men we're leading, it's just like, it seems fruitful. It's like, there's a lot of people who are getting ministered to.
Yeah.
But it was just that constant pressure of like, man. And then at work, we just keep hitting walls. We didn't have much of a structure. It's just like, and I knew dad had grown the firm so big for our market. It's like, we had to do something else because we couldn't grow. It's just like, he maxed it out, you know? And like I said, you were in that from the very beginning. So as you know, we had to break it all apart and redo it and do teams and culture and stuff and market. We started from ground zero at marketing. But all of that was going on in the ministry opportunities. And then now I was free, but I was just hitting roadblocks after roadblocks. And the firm was, it was frustrating, man. You know, we get these people in, these attorneys, train them, and then they would leave and be competitors and partners with us, or partner, you know, competitors against us in the same town. And then we train new guys and they would leave for better jobs after they were good and that type of thing.
Man. So, and that'll lead me to all of this stuff is going on and you're free of the anxiety and the depression for the most part. And then you're starting to hear God and everything else on a more personal level. Then he tells you to, why don't you stop doing law, which is where we started this whole podcast. Somewhere.
Yeah. So I'll fill in just a few more high points to catch up. So at some point we wanted to develop a new model of practicing law, which was what we're running now called the Acorn model. But it's like, we wanted to kind of build like a real estate agency for attorneys. Like, hey, we'll provide your support, your invoicing, your billing, your collections, your marketing, your legal support, your facilities. We just want you to be flexible and do what you like doing. So we needed a new location to try to get some work. So I was telling somebody about that and they handed me a business card of a guy in Willow Park. So I was like, called the guy up. He was a realtor, Corey Daniel. I always tell Corey, this needs to be like the branch, you know, Parker County needs to be the Corey Daniel branch.
Right.
I called him up there. I go up there and he's like, oh, you've got to meet this guy. And the Lord would just open the doors. Boom, 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 boom. Of like hundreds of people I got to meet. But as I was going, I'd go like once every 2 weeks. And I come home and people are like, you're not working. What are you doing? You're just jacking around. You're meeting, you know, and then once every 2 weeks. But I was meeting people and finally we hired somebody. And a gentleman by the name of Jim Martin, Railhead Realty, and Ron Hughes up there gave us an opportunity. Hey, come up here on a month-to-month deal. Try it. See if it works. Just super blessed us. And put us up there in their office. We hired somebody. And she was up there for a week. And we found out she was looking for another job already. And I remember I was only going up there once every 2 weeks. And I remember we went up there, had to let her go. And that was going to put me up there full-time. And by this time, we had worked a little bit on the, the structure of the firm and organization and stuff. But I remember clearly, Mike, I didn't really tell too many people this, of like getting my phone and kind of junk out of the office to take up there and hearing the Lord say, this changes everything. So as I was commuting every day, I had an hour. He started dropping like podcasts that I needed to listen to. Like, hey, here's your marketing podcast, The Story Brand. Hey, right. Here's your here's your business entity. You know, here's your model you need to follow. Here's your – so I just started. We started. I mean, you were with me side by side the whole time on all that. But we started implementing all these, you know, these things. And really, Jeremy at our office and April in our office, I mean, the four of us as a leadership team just started implementing everything. And – but still getting pushback, attorneys mad, all that, the pressure of you're jacking around. My billings went to like nothing.
Yeah.
The firm is like sinking, you know, and they could be like, you could solve it if you'd stop jacking around and start getting to work type of thing. But I knew I was supposed to be up there like the Lord had told us to. So over the course of the next 3 years, which brings us pretty current, we had broke the firm of the built a structure around it. Nearly all the attorneys have left and a lot of staff. And then we were left with, you know, the new model of practicing law we were doing and a killer team now, you know, at the office. Just awesome group, but so much struggles, of financial struggles along the way, because I wasn't producing, dad was slowing down, you know, and just the pressure on me of like, you're not working, Josh, you're not billing, you're not working.
Yeah, but we also, at that time, expanded out of Stephenville and maybe Hyco to now with your work in Weatherford.
Yeah.
With all of those connections and everything. And then we went to Aledo.
Yeah.
Based on all those Weatherford connections.
Yeah.
And then now we're in Granbury. We've expanded our scope in hopes that, like, you know, we're just we're the like regional business firm. Yeah, we're like a regional business law now.
That's what happened, but we didn't have enough money to do it. Now I know. But it was the Lord calling us to do that. It's just like, holy crap, we're gonna sink the ship. Right. I mean, everybody thought I knew it was clear what we were getting called to. So for years I was working on like the key documents. Like once we started learning all this, I was reading all these books. I probably read, you know, 70 books and all the business organization stuff and all the models. And we finally, you know, we would work through these things, how we communicate. Here's our organization chart, the roles and results for everybody. Here's our team meetings. Here's how meetings go. Here's how we make decisions, you know, all this type of stuff. So finally, last October, a couple Octobers ago, I remember I really got a sense of, because there's always like a pressure. I still got to finish this one. I still got to finish that one. But I got a real sense of the Lord saying, it's done. Like y'all have done all the work you need to do as far as the structure.
Right.
All the things in place. And April and Jeremy at our office are just incredible with the developing all the processes. And April's our chief of staff and Jeremy's the COO. And it's just like the right people are starting to get in place. You've been been on marketing and put us on the map on marketing, you know, so he was putting all these things and people in place. But in October, it was like, I got a real sense of like, man, there's this done, like organization is kind of done. So then I was, to bring you to current, you know, we had the couple locations we opened in Aledo. One of our, you know, a guy who was up there, got taken from us essentially by a big Fort Worth firm. We're happy with him. We loved Matt, who used to be up there, but we just couldn't afford to really stay up there in the full full location capacity. So we're still in the same building, but just on a more floating workspace. But during all that, I was meeting with this guy, really doing some discipleship, and I showed up to church one day. You know, as all this was happening, we had Granbury open and Aledo open, and, you know, we went to the new model of practicing and all this has been a hearing the Lord and the wrestle and the struggle and the provision, you know, all that. And I show up and this guy's like, hey, the Lord wants you to read Matthew 14:22. I'm like, sweet. Okay. Anyway, Julie and the kids were out of town that Sunday. So I went to the office, opened the word and read it, and it was the story of Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. And I was like, I had learned to hear the Lord at that time, and I asked him all kinds of questions and journal. And I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to know about that? He goes, I want you to get out of the boat. I'm like, what are you talking about? What's the boat? He goes, the law firm. I'm like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Because keep in mind, during this whole time, like, I've been gone for a few years, and this has really been hard for Dad. I mean, I came back and practiced for 15 years. I was in the same office doing the same thing. And it's been challenging to him in the sense of just not seeing what the Lord showed me as far as the vision for the firm and like making it a structure that we could grow under and, you know, have a new model and, you know, all this stuff. And me being gone all the time, it just wasn't what I was doing the last, you know, 15 years. So now I hear this from the Lord of get out of the boat. I'm like, you're kidding me. You know, like, no way. So that was in May of last year of 2020. My buddy Will said that. And from May all the way to the end of the year last year, I was like, Lord, what do you mean? Get out of the boat. He goes, I told you, I'm releasing you. I got stuff for you to do. It's time for you to step out of the boat. The firm is a boat. Get out. I'm like, right. Oh my gosh. I mean, he did say like, hey, you're still going to be involved in leadership and stuff, but like, I want you out. Your assignment is done. I'm like, Lord, I didn't know I was even on this assignment. What are you talking about? What the crud are you talking about? So I wrestled with him and wrestled with him all year on that word from May until November. And I felt like he was like cracking his knuckles, getting ready to hammer down, you know, like if I didn't obey, he's like, you're not being obedient. I'm like, Dad, but look, like, what about Dad? What about everybody else who's been there for so long? What about this? Like, are you serious? You know, that was my whole conversations and journaling out. So finally in November the 16th of 2022. So this was like May, I got the word. And then November, my buddy Todd texted me this. And keep in mind, the Lord's been telling me, step out of the boat, step out of the boat constantly all year. And I'm like, no, no, I can't, you know, that type of thing. So Todd texts me this. He says, is there something that the Lord told you to do you haven't done yet? Like you've second guessed it, even though you've heard it more than once. I feel like it seems small to you, but he's saying it's not small. He's not mad at you, but he's waiting on you to trust him and be obedient. It's like you see yourself walking on the water and the storm is scary and you're worried about sinking. But in this one thing, I'm not even sure you stepped out of the boat.
Wow.
He goes, sorry, I wish I was more specific. Oh my gosh, that yeah. Still gives me major chills. Dude, there could have been a mic drop that came and hit me in the face. Like a boom! And he's never heard anything. Like he's never heard that term. And then, you know, it's like, he says something else. I'm not gonna go into the other part of it, but he's like, hey, but this can only happen when you step out of the boat and don't conform to the patterns of this world. I'm like, holy cow, man. So, and then y'all remember I gathered y'all, that was in November. I gathered you and Jeremy in April. And I was like, I've got to get out as far as I have to be obedient. Otherwise this is going to go bad. So.
Right. Okay. So you're like, you're hearing these words. Now you're trying to decide to leave and you're going to leave. What message can you give everybody that's listening to this podcast? They've heard your story for the most part. There's all kinds of things that we're going to have to do a 100, yeah. 100 episode A to finish in the little blanks. But those that are hearing stuff that aren't obeying, I mean, is that your big,
yeah,
your
let
big
me,
thing you want to say to people?
I think I would encourage you with this. Well, one and two, let me say one more thing about the law firm. Just I think we need to, I'm still connected to the firm. You know, he wanted me away from it in all contexts, except staying connected to the leaders, you know, and do stuff to help prop them up. But I had to be obedient in that. And the firm and the team down there has been amazing. And they've operated it without me. And the Lord showed me just like I don't. And really, it's hard if you step away from something to know that you're really not that needed. So it's right. like, they don't need me to run it and provide amazing attorney services, what they've been doing. So it's been a really relief and like hard on my pride, you know?
Right.
But they're still running and killing it and doing awesome. But for me, the whole message is like, I've learned, and our guests have reflected this as well on the podcast, is like, the Lord speaks to you. And I would test it, man. I remember I'd be like, okay, you're talking, then tell me a name to pray for, Lord. And he'd give me a name and I'd be like, what do you want me to pray for? And they would he'd tell me something and I would text that person. They were like, holy cow, are you serious? Like, and I would do that constantly and ask him questions and write. So the thing is, like, you have to hear him. You have to learn how to hear him and have that listening prayer. And once you do, you know, trust him and learn how to trust him and step out of the boat and work on that. And it's incredible what the Lord's done. And it's just been one big adventure and he's provided, and it's been really hard and really amazing and really adventuresome and really fruitful and really hard, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's never not, it's the ebbs and flows of doing what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
Cause you don't know.
No, and I still don't know. And he's called me just to trust him and be obedient. So the next thing on the works for us is he's asking us to create a local club for Young Life here in Stephenville. And I'm laughing. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I would never ever thought I'd be in this position I'm in now, kind of out in the way for the firm, much less creating a ministry. Are you serious?
Right.
You know, it's like laughable, but I think my encouragement to people is like, step out of the boat, like listen to him, step out and be obedient and watch what he does. It's simply amazing. It's not easy, but it's super fulfilling and abundant.
Right. Man, that's awesome. That's the whole reason we created this podcast, to the extent of that our God is a huge God. He wants you to be specific in your prayers to him. Tell me what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to hear. And nothing is impossible. Doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter if you're depressed and 6 years of depression and anxiety and all this. With a snap of his fingers, he can change your outcome.
And I wouldn't have changed any of that for the world. And I will say, I just want to say this one more thing too, is like, without people like you and Jeremy by my side and April by our side and the team we have at the law firm by the side and Dad by my side, like I wouldn't have been able to have this and been obedient like that. But because of you guys here in the Lord and, you know, being believers and following him, y'all have been supportive enough where I can do this. I couldn't have done that without, you know, all you four or five people, honestly. So it's been really, I'm grateful for that. So look for those people around you, because I like, you have to have those people around you who are like, go, you gotta do it. You're here and go. We got your back. I mean, it's such a huge blessing. So, but yeah, there we go, man. So more to be determined. Thanks for letting me share that.
The next 12 or 13 years.
Yeah.
Right. But we will be at 100 episodes before then. So we'll have to give them in like 2 year increments.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Do you want to pray us out?
Yeah, I do. That'll be awesome.
All right. Awesome.
Well, I'm just led to just thank you for hearing your voice and the journey you led me on, which it was painful. And I look back, I wouldn't have changed it for the world. And you're so good. So for those people who think maybe you only speak in through your word, the scripture, you know, I ask that you show them that there is more too. There is the spirit and truth. The Bible and the word is so important. There's also, you know, the people follow you in spirit and truth. So don't let them, you know, forget that there's the experience side of Christianity too, and that you're so good and you do things through love. And I just pray that you bless the people who are listening to this. You encourage them to move forward in their life and ask you a question today and answer it for them and let them have a journey and a new adventure with you. We love you and we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, brother.
All right, no problem, Storyfield. I guess we're going to have to record mine here in a little while. So
yes. Okay.
We'll do B pretty soon. And we have, like we said, we got guests lined up now. So
it's going to be fun. Yes. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
The future continues. Thanks.
All right. See you.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this latest edition to the Storyfield podcast. We hope that you have been challenged, inspired, and ready to take that next step, whatever that is. If you know someone with an amazing story that needs to be heard, send us an email at info@thestoryfield.com. Have a fantastic day, and we can't wait for you to join us on the next episode of The Storyfield.